Welcome to Rust Belt Science. I'm your host, Maggie Fink.
And I'm Shahir Risk.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah. So, as it turns out, Dr. Fink, this is the beginning of a whole new season for us here on Rust Belt Science.
Literally and figuratively.
So tell us about the literal part.
We are currently on IUSB, Indiana University South Bend campus, recording.
Wonderful.
We do not have our usual lovely audio technician with us. We are here by ourselves, just Shahir and I.
We have moved.
We are now coming to you from Indiana University South Bend.
From beautiful South Bend, Indiana. The heart of the Rust Belt.
In the heart of the Rust Belt.
But just a slightly different venue. We moved from the University of Notre Dame, and now we're at IU South Bend. We're very grateful for IU South Bend for hosting us now and supporting us. And we just wanted to kind of kick off our season two with, you know, something new, something exciting, maybe a preview of what's to come. So I will start with our usual question. Is there something that you are reading or watching or listening to, Maggie, that you would like to share with our lovely listener?
Well, I'm always listening to stuff. I'm always watching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not always reading stuff because I don't have time for that. What am I? I'm trying to think of there's something particularly interesting that I would like to share with the listeners as well. I have my usual podcast, nothing particularly of note. I am reading, I guess. We recently were in Indianapolis, and we stopped at a couple bookstores there. That's right. And so I grabbed some books I'm reading. I don't remember the name of it. I think it's called Lila's Tears, something like that, by a French poet. It is a novel, but it's in poetry form. It's about the relationship between a mother and a daughter that's very complicated, and finding true love and painful missing and longing and arguments with mothers and daughters. So I've been chipping away at that. It's pretty interesting. It's something very different than what I am interacting with in my day-to-day life. It's really nice to read poetry and read stories that feel familiar in some way.
And you're reading this in English, even though it's a French author.
Yes, this is an English translation, but she's a French author from, I believe, like the 60s or 70s, so it's not modern. It's very, the poetry, even translated, is very beautiful, but it's a more narrative-style poem. So
that's very interesting. So you're telling a story through poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple of examples that come to mind. I think there's one that's an opera, that is basically a story that's written in song, essentially.
Oh.
And it all rhymes in the languages that it's translated. Mm-hmm, I think it's Onegin, I think is what it's called.
Mm. Well, they have like these, you know, epic poems, like Beowulf is an epic poem.
Yeah.
But something that's, I haven't really read Beowulf in a while. But this particular narrative story in poetry form is more modern style of poetry. So it doesn't necessarily rhyme, but it has that cadence when you're reading it of like there's an underlying rhythm that doesn't exist in just like a novel form where you're telling a story.
Huh.
So it's, you know, not a long book, but it is a book that is one essentially long poem. I've never really read anything like that before.
Yeah.
But I don't really speak very good French, but I love French. And so reading French authors is interesting. And just trying to find more out there types of things to read. I'm really sick of reading pop science books. Like, how much more science can I consume?
Don't tell the audience.
But sometimes I feel like it's hard to just be thinking about that type of thing all of the time.
That's very true. And I think that maybe this is a misconception that somehow scientists will only read science and just consume information. But we definitely read a lot of things or consume a lot of things, just like pretty much like everybody else. If it's fun, if it's interesting, if it's intriguing, if it's done well, we'll consume it.
Yeah, and I think we're both scientists, but that's not really an identity that I carry with me in every aspect of my life. So when I'm not doing science-y things, I'm put that hat down in some sense, I guess. And I do other things. Science is something I do. I don't really identify in an identity.
Like completely, like yeah, entirely, like, and that's the only thing.
I'm a scientist. Yeah. I'm me as a person, and I do science, and in that space I'm a scientist. But to kind of take that identity with me all the time is not, doesn't resonate with how I experience the world.
Well, so speaking of scientists reading non-science things, I've been reading, or I finished reading a book that you gave me
a while back.
It's called If an Egyptian Cannot Speak English, right? Very well written, and you know, maybe I'm a little bit biased to it myself because I am an Egyptian.
Well, I read it and I really enjoyed it, and I'm not Egyptian.
So. And it's just a fantastic book, and I think it's kind of a little bit non-traditional because it's the writing, I would say, again, I'm not an expert on the different writing styles, but it's quite experimentalist in the way that it flows and what is actually going on there. And I thought it was very nice. So even, you know, for an Egyptian or not an Egyptian, I think it's a really good book. I would highly recommend. So that's what I did this summer. This summer of 2025, that was one of the books that I read and I really enjoyed, and so I'm grateful you passed this on to me.
Well, that's something that we do often, is swap books back and forth.
That's right.
Which, find a friend and swap books. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very good to be able to do that.
So, yeah, we're here in season two.
Season two.
Also, maybe another update, as I am now... I'm not a postdoctoral researcher anymore. I'm now also here just at IU South Bend doing teaching. And so first day of classes for us was yesterday.
That's correct, as we record, So recording this on the second day of class in the fall semester of 2025. How about that?
So my first day of teaching was today.
How did that go? don't want to talk about it yet.
I was going to say that.
Just this process a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's always... I can imagine that no matter what, the first day of teaching a class every semester, no matter how long you've been doing it, there's a lot of like, what's going to happen? What are the students going to be like? How's the dynamic of the class going to be? How am I going to handle whatever comes up? So
that is absolutely true.
Yeah, you can probably speak to that a little bit more than I could. But anytime you have to do something new, there's a little bit of anxiety and you're like, I could have done that better, could have handled that better. But it was fine. It's good. Did some algebra.
That's cool.
Teaching some nursing students chemistry. So you also taught the same thing this morning.
That's right.
So
in a different section,
Different section. So
It's amazing. Every year, you know, I have these nightmares, and it's always. I mean, math is part of what we teach. Usually, it's fairly basic math. It's you know, algebra, how to add, subtract, multiply. You know, manipulate very simple equations. But almost every year, at this time of year, right before school starts, I usually have the same kind of nightmare where school's already started. Maybe we're 2 or 3 days into it, or it's the day that school starts, and I am late to class. I don't know where the class is, so I'm looking around for it. I'm lost, and I have to teach calculus. That's my nightmare. And, you know, I've studied calculus many years ago. I've forgotten most of it. I'm not qualified to teach it. So that's usually my nightmare. And then a few years ago, I was talking to one of our colleagues who is an emeritus, retired professor. And he says that even though he's been retired for years from teaching, around this time of year, somehow, you know, as the weather turns and starts to kind of get a little bit cooler, you get that football weather, as they say. He usually has a very similar nightmare, and it's quite. It seems like it just never goes away, where he has to teach a class that he's unprepared for, right? And it's it's I think it doesn't go away. As a teacher, if you're putting in the work and you're really putting in the effort, you really want to get to know your students. You want to do a good job. there's always this thing in the back of your mind, like, what if I mess this up completely? And even worse, what if I have to teach a class that I know nothing about?
Well, that's kind of how I feel. I'm teaching a class I know nothing about in a lot of ways.
But, you know, for you, you have a degree in chemistry. This is a kind of an intro chemistry class. It may not be something that you're doing every day, but it's definitely something well within your wheelhouse.
Sure. One could argue. But I'm also teaching a biology lab.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, I haven't taught that yet, so yeah. I don't know. But again, things I know nothing about. They're like, hey, you're a microbiologist. How about you teach our ecology lab? Well, it's not actually the ecology lab. It's an intro bio, but it's the biology that is more focused on ecology and, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Which environment. Is yeah.
Environment and growth and death curves and life expectancy and population differences and communal interactions and measuring plant height and like temperature. I think there's frogs at some point. I don't know. So I'm a little out of my depth in some ways here, yes.
I think this is kind of a little known fact, I think, is that sometimes the intro classes are actually trickier, a lot trickier than the so-called advanced classes. The intro classes have to really stuff a lot of things into a very short amount of time and small, you know, teaching space. Mm-hmm. So if it's intro to biology, biology is many fields.
It's like everything. Biology is not one thing.
Everything that is alive, you know, everything that's ever lived is under biology. And even things that are not necessarily alive contribute to biology, like, you know, the weather, ecosystems, mm-hmm. Geology mm-hmm. in some mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. So as a microbiologist like yourself or a biochemist like myself, you know, yeah, we know biology, but, you know, it's still, there are so many aspects of us, of it that, you know, aren't, mm-hmm. don't maybe play to our strengths. Mm-hmm. You compare that to, you know, a senior level course, a junior or senior level course in college. And I feel like that's when the fun really starts, because then you're really spending a lot of time focusing on one or two things. So mm-hmm. here's your microbiology class where mm-hmm. you're just focusing on microbiology, or a medical microbiology course mm-hmm. where you're just focusing on the medical side right. of microbiology, or a biochemistry class, or a mm-hmm. inorganic chemistry, or something like that, where you're really, yeah, it's a lot more in depth, might be a different kind of work. But you've also taken all the intro classes to kind of prepare you supposedly for that. And now you can kind of really get into something. So I feel like those more advanced classes are a little bit easier in a sense. And the challenge is a little bit different. So mm-hmm. yeah, the intro classes, drinking from a fire hose, I think, as a teacher and as a student.
Yeah. And especially teaching biology that I didn't take this class when I was at IUSB.
That's right. That's right.
This is not required for a biochemistry major. Yeah. So, but I get to learn a lot of cool things. Like, I get to learn as well, which is fun. So, yeah,
it will emerge. It will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, it's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. So
I think so.
We have a lot of really cool people lined up for this season, right? And, you know, just because we've moved locations, we're going to still have some amazing people to interview mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to, you know, we've been doing a lot of traveling mm-hmm. and we met a lot of people mm-hmm. and we're like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? And they're like, yeah, sure. So it's just really at this point, it's a matter of scheduling people.
Yeah, we've got some characters coming.
You know, that's the best thing. You got to have the characters, right? Yeah. Information is out there, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody can look mm-hmm. up information about mm-hmm. space or about bacteria or about whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But we want human beings. And I think that's really been the theme, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Our lovely listeners can really see that's mm-hmm. what we're interested in, mm-hmm. are people as people who happen to be scientists or artists or engage in whatever. And we really want to expand our scope a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
I think last season we had a lot of researchers focused on pretty basic science in a lot of ways. There was a lot of astro outer space stuff as well. So I think we want to expand into maybe people doing slightly more applicable type of research.
Mm-hmm.
We have some interesting psychologists that we met.
Very
some
nice.
Some neuroscientists, you know, things that are a bit more human, I guess. We've had a lot of discussion around things that are not human.
Like outer space.
fungus.
Or bacteria.
Insects,
fungus. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So I think we have some really interesting people that we're excited to have on the podcast and talk to. Maybe someone else to come talk about some conspiracy theory type stuff.
That would be super cool.
My PhD advisor Ooh. Is going to be on the podcast. I'm
Excellent.
Very excited about that. That'll be a party.
That'll be a treat. For sure.
So yeah. I think we also are hoping to get some artists and writers and authors to come on and talk about their process and be able to talk about how artistic processes are very similar to research processes in a lot of ways and hear from people. We've talked about the intersection of art and science from a scientist perspective, and I think hearing about other people's experience from the opposite side of that would be really cool as well.
That sounds really cool.
I know.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. The thing is, when we record these episodes, I usually don't listen back to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I trust our sound engineer, and you usually listen at some point.
I do.
I have a hard time listening, and I kind of black out when we're in the middle of an episode because it's just so exciting.
So you have no memory or recollection of anything that we've done?
Not really. If I'm being honest, maybe I can ask a neuroscientist about it when they come on the podcast, but I'll probably forget because I black out.
Just write it down.
Okay, well, I could do that. Yeah,
it's like you know, there's a movie a while back. I think it's called Memento or something, where man has like short-term memory loss, so he has to like tattoo everything, and just kind of piecing back together his past. New tattoo ideas. There you go. Just ask questions and tattoo them so that you remember to ask them when you're.
That's true.
There you go.
Well, I already have like 13 tattoos, so
Ooh,
I'm
very nice.
I mean, not running out of room, but I'm kind of limited on my space.
Okay, fine. Maybe you can just write on a piece of paper.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I do remember. Listen. I'm just in the moment, and then I take the experience with me in my heart.
I think that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think so. I think there's something to be said about experiences that you just live for in the moment. Mm. You don't have to come back to that same emotion over and over again. You kind of live it. And I think that's really cool that you're able to do that. Maybe I'm not there yet because I like to listen back and say, oh, I remember this part. Mm. And I'm going to ask that next.
Well,
and
I mean,
it's just a different experience.
Sure. And I rely on you to listen back and make sure it sounds okay. And like, should we edit anything? I can't even do that. And I'm the host. And this was my idea. And I can't do the basic part of podcasting, which is make sure your episode is good to go.
Well, that's why you got me. And for the color commentary too, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, hopefully people can maybe bear with us as we are our own sound engineers and editors for the foreseeable future. Unless I can get my 14-year-old to edit for us.
That's actually a thing I was going to ask you about. If we're able to get your 14-year-old son to do this, what kind of payment is he interested in? Is this like candy situation? Or
oh, no, cold hard cash.
Oh, straight up cash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Very good.
He's a smart.
Smart young man.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurial.
I think he said $50 an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he does get paid to do video editing by people.
Okay, well, then we have to really, obviously.
Yeah, he's a busy man.
That's good.
That's
great.
He'll do a better job than I can. I can guarantee you that. So, you know, hopefully people can be, you know, don't judge us. We're figuring it out in this new space. We very much miss our sound engineer, Aaron, who was there and made us sound so much better.
For sure. Now you get to hear us how we really sound.
Yeah, hopefully.
Ouch. Yeah.
It's not that different.
Hopefully it's not that bad.
Yeah. But we are. We're in a beautiful little studio in the IUSB library that they've been gracious enough to put us in for now. So lots of cool things happening. We might not be post as frequently since apparently it's going to cost an arm and a leg to have my kid edit it.
But that's right. Yeah,
he's killing us. Got a tight budget here. but we want to make sure that we can devote the amount of time that we need to getting good episodes with good people, which means we might not be able to release as many as we did in season one. But we'll see. We'll see. Depends on people's willingness as well to come.
Well, I love it, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
All right. Well, thank you, Maggie.
Thank you, Shahir.
At the end of our show, we would like to thank you, our lovely listener, and our awesome audience for spending your time with us. A special thanks to the wonderful people at the Indiana University South Bend College of Arts and Sciences and the IU South Bend Library. Coming to you from beautiful South Bend, Indiana, in the heart of the Rust Belt, this is Rust Belt Science. I am Shahir Risk.
And I'm Maggie Fink.
And we'll catch you next time.